Well, good morning, and take your Bibles or your phones or your iPads or whatever device you may have and find the book of Titus, the book of Titus. I'd like to begin with a question, and the question is this, and I want you to think about this with me, okay? What is an exemplary life? What is an exemplary life? Now, let me just say this in addition to that, that when we come to the word example in Scripture, it's a very graphic word. We get our word type, T-Y-P-E, from it. The Greek word is tupos. And an example literally is the impression that is left after a blow is given, after an impact is made. It's that impression. So the real question is, what kind of a life leaves an impression? Now, I would suggest to us that an exemplary life is a life that others can follow and or emulate and be better for it. In fact, it was said of a young lady that it was easier to be good when she was around. That's leaving a good impression, isn't it? You know people like that? It's just like when I'm with him, when I'm with her, it's just like, it's just easier to be nice. It's easier to be kind. It's easier to be good when I'm with that person. Is that true of you? Would others say, when I'm with Victoria Baker, it's just easier to be good when I'm around her, you know. I'll be quick to add, it's not always easier to be good when people are around me. Sometimes I'm a grouch, you know, and so that doesn't make it easier. But I would like to be that person that would be easier to be good to be around. A local church is to be exemplary too. Not only are people individually, but collectively, a local church like Shawnee Hills should be an exemplary church. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul, in writing of that church, and it's the only church in the whole New Testament that this is said of, he wrote, that local church in Thessalonica was an example to all believers. It left a good impression. It made a good impression. And it kind of begs the question, are we? As a local church in our community, to other local churches, are we an exemplary church? Do we make and leave a good impression on others? And I might beg the question, well, what does that look like? What is an exemplary church? Well, if we stay in 1 Thessalonians, in verses 6 and 8, here's what Paul wrote. He said, and you, speaking to the Thessalonians, he said, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. He goes on to say, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere so that we need not say anything. I want to say that's an exemplary church, right? I mean, here's a church that they imitated those who were imitating Christ. Okay, they received the word. They were receptive to the Word of God. I hope you're receptive to the Word of God this morning. I hope you've come thinking, you know, I wonder what God has to say to me out of His Word this morning. They were receptive to that. In the midst of their affliction, they found joy. The Word of God sounded, they not only received the Word of God, they were senders of the Word of God. They received it and sent it. Received it and sent it. That's exemplary. Their faith. I mean, the faith of this church was known everywhere so that nothing had to be said. It was just like, oh, yeah. You want to hear about a church that has faith? Oh, the church in Thessalonica. And it got me thinking, are we that kind of a church? Are we that church? Are we leaving that kind of impression on others? It really ought to cause each and every one of us individually who's a part of Shawnee Hills to say, am I that kind of person? Because the extent to which I am, then we are, right? It kind of is contagious in a good way. So I hope you found Titus by now and chapter 2, and we're in this series called The Family of Faith. And in verse 1, let me just look at verse 1 with you. Paul is writing to Titus, who is the pastor of the church in Crete, and he said, but as for you, not plural, but as for you, Titus, teach what accords with sound doctrine. So he's saying, Titus, I want you to be sure that you are teaching sound doctrine, that your doctrine is healthy, it's sound, it's whole. By the way, he had already told the elders that, or instructed the elders in chapter 1 and verse 9 to give instruction in sound doctrine. But the word sound means sound. It means healthy. It has the idea of being whole and complete. Elsewhere in Titus chapter 2, he refers to sound in faith. Do we have healthy faith? Sound in speech. Is my speech healthy? Is it whole? Is it constructive? Does it leave a good impression on those who hear my speech? So what Paul is saying to Titus here is, we look at just two verses this morning, verses 7 and 8, is that as a pastor of a local church and as a local church, let's be sure that when it comes to doctrine and faith and speech, that all of that is sound, that it's healthy, that it's whole. So now we come to verses 7 and 8, and Paul is addressing Titus specifically. And so Pastor Adam, Pastor David, myself included, as one of three pastors here, God is specifically addressing the pastors who are church leaders. But it's more than that, too, as we'll see in a minute. So he says to Titus in verse 7, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Titus, make sure that the way you teach and the way you speak and the way you lead and the way you conduct yourself reflects well on us. This isn't just about you, Titus. This is about the body at large. Because the way you pastor will have far-reaching impact on the lives of others. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul is writing to Timothy, who was a pastor. He was the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And this is what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. Once again, we have this idea of leave a good, godly impression on others. Let your life speak a testimony of Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul, in speaking of his team, his missionary team, he said, we're an example to imitate. Can I just say that the best leadership at any level is by example? as one of three pastors here at Shawnee Hills Baptist Church, and I speak to Pastor David and I speak to Pastor Adam as well, we need to lead Shawnee Hills Baptist Church by example. We need to leave the right impression on others. But could I also say, husbands, you need to lead your wives by example. Don't expect from them what you're not living, what you're not showing, what you're not teaching. I mean, lead by example. Parents, moms and dads, you need to lead your family by example. Not to mention those in the White House, those in the Senate, those in the House of Representatives, those who sit on the Supreme Court. The best leadership is by example. At any level of life, the very best leadership is not in what somebody says, but in how somebody lives. That's what leaves a marked impression. So in Titus chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8, we're going to look at exemplary leadership in the life of Titus, but also in the lives of others who were maybe serving alongside of him as elders or as deacons or as, who knows, Sunday school teachers or Awana leaders or, you know. When I was growing up, I remember hearing the expression by some of my friends' parents, "Do as I say, not as I do." Ever hear that? Do you know how unbiblical that is? Do you know how wrong that is? Do as I say, not as I do? Really? But some people lead that way, which is not leadership at all. You know, Jesus was do as I do, right? So we just had the Lord's table. And in John chapter 13, the night that Jesus was betrayed, he washed the disciples' feet, right? Here's what he said. "For I've given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." Now that's leading by example, right? Was Jesus more than a good example, class? Was he more than a good example? Absolutely. More than that. But his life was exemplary, right? He was more than a good example, but his life, everything about him, everything he did and said was exemplary. So this morning, as we come to these two verses, I'm going to suggest that what Paul is doing is he is encouraging Titus as the pastor, but he's encouraging others in areas of church leadership to be exemplary in conduct and character and teaching and in speech and in leading. Just know this, Titus, your life will speak so much louder than the words you speak. People will hear your life before they hear your words. So let's look at this. In chapter 2 of Titus, we look at the first part of verse 7, which simply reads, "Show yourself, Titus, in all respects to be a model of good works." Titus, it starts with you, but then there's a trickle-down effect here. But Titus, you be a model of good works. You be someone that others can mimic. I remember the times when my kids were young and I would watch my son in particular and he was mimicking me. Like, and it wasn't always good. Okay, it was like, "Oh, where do you get that? He got it from me," you know. But sometimes it was like, "Oh, he caught that from me. He's acting just like his dad," okay? So what Titus is being encouraged to be is a model, a role model that others can follow. Titus, be worthy of somebody else's imitation. I want to say, whether you're a pastor here or a deacon here or in women's ministries or in men's ministries or a Sunday school teacher, an ABF leader, an Awana leader, a small group discussion leader, whatever type of leadership. By the way, can I just say this? All believers are leaders. All believers are leaders. So what kind of leadership am I demonstrating? Is it worthy of imitation? Is it worthy of being mimicked by others? And the main thing that Titus is being encouraged to be is a model of good works. Good works. Now, by the way, good works is just peppered throughout the book of Titus. You just keep coming across this idea of good works. Good, not to be saved, but to show that you are saved. In fact, we have an example of a negative example in chapter 1, verse 16. And speaking of the Cretans, Paul said to Titus, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Do not look to the Cretans as a model of good works, because they're not, okay? But you must be, Titus. You must be a model of good works. In fact, throughout the book, and I won't take time to just document all these, but all believers are to be ready for every good work. Chapter 3, verse 2, to be careful to devote themselves to good works. Chapter 3, verse 8, to learn to devote themselves to good works. Chapter 3 and verse 14. So it's like good works, good works, good works. There's something about good works that we're to model. And I would also raise the question, why is that? Why is God so concerned about his people modeling good works? Why is that? Well, the answer is given in verse 14. So as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. So we are to model good works because there are a lot of people in need out there, right? Need help, need encouragement, need care. And those of us who are in Christ, we are to practice good works, devote ourselves to good works, learn to devote ourselves to good works because of the cases of urgent need, and so that our lives are productive, our lives are fruitful, so that we leave the right impression on others. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Luke writes about Jesus, and he said that after Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, listen to this now, Acts 10, 38, he went about doing good. He was a model of good. He was a good deed doer, okay? That's who Jesus was. It's just after he was anointed. Listen, when you got saved and the Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ and you became a follower of Christ and you became indwelled by the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit of God, the Word of God says God expects you to be a model of good works. You should be going about doing good. Are we as a local church, are we going about doing good? Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 said, be imitators of me. Now, if he stopped at that point, I would go, whoa, who are you, Paul? But he didn't stop there. He said, be imitators of me as I am also of Christ. You know, the extent to which my life is an imitation of Christ is the extent to which others can mimic me. Follow me. Jesus never drew attention to himself. Jesus' good works were without flamboyance, without arrogance. He wasn't like the Pharisees who, anytime they did a good work, it was for the purpose of drawing attention to themselves and for the purpose of other people going, whoa, those Pharisees, they're something else. What can they show good works? No, that was not. Listen, doing good works is never about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ and showing and sharing the love and care and compassion of Christ. Never do anything that's even good for the purpose of being noticed. You've spoiled it at that point. I've spoiled it at that point. I have a book, big, thick book. It's called St. Peter's Principles. It's a book on leadership. And Peter, a little back, president of Westminster Seminary, in that book, he wrote this. Speaking of the kind of conduct that the Apostle Peter was enjoining in his first letter, Lilbeck wrote, have unity of mind. He's writing this to believers. Have unity of mind, sympathy and brotherly love, a tender heart and a humble mind. Furthermore, bless others with civility and keep the tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's kind of all in the Bible. Then Lilbeck says this. He said, a great gift that a leader, that's you. That's me. Because all believers are leaders, okay? A great gift that a leader brings to his followers is the power of his example. We have no idea how our lives influence others, but they do. Good or bad? See, not only are all believers leaders, we're all examples. Good or bad? The question is my life a good example? Or is it a godly example? The influence is just beyond our comprehension. 1 Peter 5 and verse 3, Peter exhorts elders to be examples to the flock. You know, I need to pause right now and just ask your forgiveness the times that I have been a poor example to you. Because I know I have. I can think of some. You know what? You can think of some times. I was like, did you hear Pastor Dave? Did you see Pastor Dave? You know what? I'll just be right above board with you. Yep. I have been a bad example at times. And I ask your forgiveness for that. Because in my heart of hearts, I want to be a good, godly example. Not just because I'm the pastor or a pastor. Because I'm a believer. I don't want people thinking less of Christ because of me. Be an example to the flock. Never underestimate the power of a good, godly example. Please, do not underestimate that. Whether you're a pastor or a deacon or a dorm mate or a Sunday school teacher or a nursery worker or whatever, never underestimate the impression that your life is making on somebody else. And by the grace of God, may it be a good one, right? May it be a godly example. Exemplary character and conduct. But then he goes on in the last part of verse 7 and verse 8, he talks about exemplary teaching and leading. Verse 7 again, he says, Titus, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. So Titus, you're on the front line here. You're the pastor, okay? So you need to be exemplary in your character and conduct. And Titus, you need to be exemplary in your teaching and leading, which implies, as he said here, integrity and purity. May the motivation of your heart not be, I wonder if anybody's looking. I wonder if anybody noticed how good I am. No, there has to be integrity. There has to be dignity. There has to be a purity of heart. This kind of teaching should be devoid of self-display. If you're teaching an ABF, if you're teaching, if you're a group leader in Awana, if you're in the dorm and you're whatever they have in dorms, okay, you know, leading small groups, discipleship groups, okay, it's not about how much you know and all that you've done. It's not about, wow, that person is really sharp, you know. It's about integrity. It's about soundness and wholeness and health in speech and conduct. Titus was to demonstrate humility, not pettiness, not arrogance, but a good example, of being a teacher and a leader. And so I just want to say, whatever level, exemplary leadership is marked by sound, wholesome speech that cannot be condemned. I mean, he says that right there. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Whatever level of leadership you're at, just make sure that you are propagating the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ whenever you can. That you are showing and sharing Christ with others. Can I just, when I was in grade school, I remember every Friday was show and tell day. Remember, anybody grow up with show and tell days? Like, I'm really old. Okay, thank you, all right? And so you would bring in something to show and tell about. I love Fridays, you know, as well. Like, what can I do this week, you know? Can I just say to those of us who are in Christ, our life motto ought to be show and tell. Show and tell Christ. Show Christ. Tell Christ. Share Christ. Give Christ. That may be the best takeaway from today. You leave here being a model of good works, practicing show and tell. Showing Christ, telling Christ to others. And I'm just going to wrap things up here by saying the reason church leaders are to be exemplary in character, conduct, teaching, and leading is in the last part of verse 8. So that, here's the reason, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. The best way to deflect unjust accusation is to lead an exemplary life. You don't have to defend yourself. All you have to be is like Christ. By the way, that does not mean that you will never be accused of something. Just make sure whatever the accusation is, it can't stick. It can't be true. And that others, if they heard that about you, others would say, no way. I know Jeff Short. He would never say that. He would never do that. You know, Jesus was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. Did you know that? It's right there in the Gospels. And here's why. Because he hung out with the riffraff of society. I mean, he hung out with sinners. Okay? But he was neither a glutton or a drunkard. Jesus was accused of being a traitor and a blasphemer because he preached the gospel and put God above Caesar. But he was neither a traitor or a blasphemer. But he was still accused. Sometimes it's like no matter what you do, no matter what you say, somebody's going to say something against you. Get used to it. It's called the Christian life in a fallen world. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just don't give anybody a reason for being right. And if they are right, you better seek forgiveness like right now and get it right, myself included. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3. I just want you, these words are going to be on the screen. He was the leader of the apostles, all right? So here's a leader speaking to leaders, and which, by the way, is all believers, because all believers are leaders. And he said, now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? In other words, what do you have to worry about if what you're zealous about is good? Okay? Yeah, will people take exception with that? Of course they will. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Not by the opponents, mind you, but by God. God will bless you for doing what's right and what's good. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Now, that should sound really familiar, that piece of that paragraph. Because we often say, you know, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. But we take it out of context here. And the context is, hey, you're living a righteous life and people are going to put a negative spin on that. So always be prepared to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you so that no accusation can stick. We need a bunch of Teflon Christians. You know what I mean? Nothing sticks. He's on to say, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So if somebody does try to make an accusation that's false against you, when they realize this is not going to stick, they'll feel ashamed for even trying. For it is better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will than for doing evil. Sometimes, brethren, listen, please understand, you know, some of you know this by personal experience. Sometimes we are called to suffer. That's our calling. But let's make sure we're suffering for doing good, not for doing evil. If you suffer for doing evil, that's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. I'm getting what I deserve. I did wrong. I should catch flack for that. But if I'm living for Christ and I'm catching flack for that, it may hurt, it may be hard, but God says, you're my kind of gal. You're my kind of guy. You're doing what I've asked you to do. Suffer for righteousness' sake. So if you are a Christian, and especially if you're part of this local church, Shawnee Hills Baptist Church, I mean, this same standard for leadership applies to everybody because all believers are leaders. And exemplary conduct, exemplary speech, exemplary teaching, exemplary leading is incumbent on you and on me. Okay? It's just what God expects. It's what Paul expected from Titus. It's what Titus expected from the elders. It's what the elders expected from the deacons. It's what the deacons expected from the people. It's just what's expected. And each of us is an example. Can I just say, that's true. Good or bad, we're all examples. Would you join me, and I mean this sincerely, would you join me in saying, by the grace of God, I want my life to be a good, godly example that will leave a Christ-like impression on the lives of other people? That if anybody follows me, they will either find Christ or become more like him. That should be the goal of every Christian. So, who knows who Christian Hosoi is? Anybody know who Christian Hosoi is? Anybody? You don't? Really? I'm amazed. He's a 50-year-old American skateboarder who's been skateboarding since he was a teenager. And when he was 18 years old, he was arrested and was put in prison. And at 18 years of age, in prison, he got saved. He became a Christian. And his life just went 180 degrees, except he is a 50-year-old skateboarder. He still does that. Christian Hosoi. I'm going to conclude with what he said. He said, your mess-ups become your message. And your trials, your testimony. And then he said this. I want to be an example. The person who, when they look at me, they say, that guy is a Christian. There's no doubt about it. I want to be blameless. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a role model for believers. If a 50-year-old skateboarder saved at the age of 18 while in prison, if that's what he wants, that's what I want. I want to be an example. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a role model for believers, not for Dave Culver's sake, not for people to notice me, but that people might find Christ and become more like him. Heavenly Father, as we give attention to your word today, and as we think about what you have put in print, and as we think about the words that Paul wrote to Titus, and I pray, Father, in my own heart of hearts, Father, please help me to be an example that others can follow, that would be worthy of someone's imitation. And Lord, I know right up front, I'm not always that person. But I want to be. I want to be that person. I want the people of Shawnee Hills to be those people. I want Shawnee Hills to be an exemplary church in our community. I want Shawnee Hills to be an exemplary church in our state. Lord, please work out your word in my life and the lives of your people. For Jesus' sake, Father, for Jesus' sake, I ask these things. Amen.